This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
The goal of this podcast since day one is to provide the best information on the Vancouver real estate market at no cost to you, the listeners. To that end, we'd like to thank the following sponsors.
This podcast is sponsored by Marcon, a local family-owned and managed real estate development and construction company that's been around for nearly four decades. Marcon is not only committed to high-quality construction, but it also is making a positive impact in the communities in which it builds, all across the Lower Mainland.
We want to highlight two incredible Marcon projects. Elmwood, a 38-story tower located at Burquitlam's most important intersection, Como Lake Avenue and Clark Road. This landmark tower will feature 335 condominiums, over 37,000 square feet of office and retail space, and almost 20,000 square feet of amenity space. Elmwood has been incredibly popular with 80% sold currently, but they still have a great selection of junior one-bedroom all the way to three-bedroom homes remaining. Check out marcon.ca/elmwood for more.
And Matt, we are also excited about Soane House, Marcon's newest community in West Coquitlam, with 165 homes ranging from junior one beds to three beds. Soane House offers the perfect West Coast aesthetic with a more nuanced Nordic-inspired design. Register today at marcon.ca/soanehouse. That's S-O-E-N-H-A-U-S. Or you can learn more at marcon.ca or follow them at Instagram at Marcon Homes.
Marcon, building for life.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, today we've got a phenomenal episode. We have Morgan Brown and Michael Yu from Oakwin Realty.
That's right. Founders.
Partners.
Partners.
Principals.
In Oakwin Realty. I think they both have other partners in life. But,
yes.
But yeah, this has been a long time coming. We've been talking with these guys.
Well, they do. We do know they have other partners in life.
It's all speculation.
We're confident they have other partners.
Yeah, we're confident.
But they're business partners.
They are business partners.
Right.
We've been talking to these guys for longer than the podcast has been around.
Sure.
We just switched brokerages to Oakwin.
We did.
Which is very exciting.
And we're super excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have them on the show. It's been a long time coming. And the conversation does not disappoint.
It doesn't, because these guys, not only are they owners, broker owners of Oakwin Realty, but also they are agents, so they operate in the market. And they're also investors, so they are constantly monitoring the city of Vancouver and the greater Vancouver area. And they have great advice.
I feel like these guys are let's say, wise beyond their years.
Right.
They're both very, very accomplished. They both are doing things at a clip that most other people are not in this marketplace. And that really speaks to their experience and the wealth of knowledge that comes out of this conversation.
Yeah, lots of energy and
lots of energy.
You definitely pick up on that. I think we were talking about like Morgan Brown in particular. Lots of energy.
She radiates.
Yeah. Michael.
And it's a compliment. Michael, more of a thoughtful guy.
More of a thoughtful guy. He radiates a bit.
He definitely does.
He's like the old radiator you kind of got to kick on.
And Morgan's the radiator from the future.
Yeah, Morgan is like sometimes it's like they took like a some kind of new technology and captured it, and it's like the grid system in Olympic Village is Morgan. Michael's like an old water heater. No, I'm just kidding, Michael. Michael's fantastic.
One of the
most thoughtful guys. And but we'll definitely get to that. But before, we should say Michael is actually our guest on Vancouver Real Estate Live this upcoming November 6th.
That's Wednesday. So a few things. One, last week we said November 9th.
Right.
So if you were really keen to tune in and you realize it's on a Saturday night,
we got great news.
That was a mistake. It's definitely not happening on November 9th. The Vancouver Real Estate Live is on November 6th at 7 p.m.
Right.
Michael's going to be here talking about all things disruption in real estate. Now, that is the industry, right. MLS. Wither agents, are they going to be around?
No, but even more so, self-driving cars, health technology, we're going everywhere.
All of it, all of it. So show up then, bring your questions,
yeah.
Have a beer. It's going to be phenomenal. That's 7 p.m. on November 6th.
The Vancouver Real Estate Live show. So yeah, really looking forward to having
That's
Michael.
Right.
I got to say, like of everybody I know out there, and we were joking, being facetious with Michael, but he is one of the thought leaders in our marketplace for sure, right?
That is 100% true. I would say that we occasionally go for drinks with Michael, and it's I leave every time going like, wow,
and motivated.
Motivated, but also just like, man, he's on a different level. He's on the next level.
He's a man with a purpose, and we can't wait for you to hear him on our show.
If you want to have a beer with him, it's November 6th, Wednesday, 7 p.m.
It's phenomenal. What else do we got, Matt? We are coming from live at Bento right now.
A lot of people have been asking about live at Bento, what this actually means, right?
Right. It's not a sushi joint. It's not. And here's the thing. It is.
We've had to tell somebody. It's not a sushi joint.
It's not what you prepack your lunches with. It is a place. It's a studio. And the nicest thing about it is they're actually filming live events that you can participate in. Not only our event, but also like things like, I think it's called Best Thing Ever.
Best Thing Ever is actually one of the best things I've ever seen.
I just came up with that. Yeah. Best Thing Ever - Matt Scalina, Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. But that should be one of their reviews.
This is what they're doing, right? It's basically they take items from around Vancouver.
Right.
And they
so like this week they did pumpkin pie.
So they get three or four different from local celebrated bakeries, but also like Save-On Foods.
Right.
Blind taste tests, and they sort out which one's the best.
And
the answer might surprise you.
I'm curious to talk to Raimi from Raimi Films if they use food only or if they expand. Like, would Best Thing Ever be potentially best trampoline? No?
This is...
It's coming in.
Nope.
It's food only.
No, just food. Just food.
Oh, it's Raimi. Yeah. He says that's ridiculous. Stick to the script.
Anyway, it's a phenomenal. It's mainly on Facebook Live, at the Bento Box.
Right.
It's fantastic. So check that out. And what else do we got?
Last thing before we cut to our interview with Michael and Morgan, we have a copy of Larry Beasley's Vancouverism to give away. We are well over 100 reviews, but you still have a great opportunity to win a copy of a book.
We're giving away so many books to reviewers that I feel like three quarters of them probably have received books already. But the way that you enter into this competition, without a lot of competition, is you Google Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. On the right-hand side, you'll see the business page where you can hit review, you write a review, you get entered into the draw. We have a book signed by Larry Beasley going out today. And if you want a book in the future, this is a very easy way to get your free copy of Vancouverism.
It is. And wait for the end of the show. We will announce the winner this week. And without further ado, Matt, let's cut to our interview with Michael, you, and Morgan Brown
from Oakland Realty. Enjoy, guys.
Okay, so we're here with Morgan Brown and Michael Yu, partners at Oakland Realty. Welcome, and thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having us, Adam and Matt.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for taking the time today, guys.
Nice digs here you guys have, too.
Yeah, really.
I feel like I feel great here.
There's not enough marble on the wall. I don't feel like we're actually at Oakland.
At Oakland? Yeah. You know, we're missing some marble and some wood. Some good oak in this space.
So for our listeners, a lot of our listeners actually will know you guys. They're in the real estate industry. But for listeners that don't know you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Maybe starting with Morgan?
Okay, sure. I am born and bred in Vancouver, British Columbia. Where I call home. And I have been in the real estate business for about 12 years, so over a decade. And I started as a resale agent myself, a sole resale agent, and grew my team, and then became a partner of Oakwin about 5 years ago. And yeah, I'm pretty, people will get to know me. I'm quite optimistic. I'm a person of my word, and a big part of what I really believe in is just enjoying life. So I love to travel. I have a new son who's incredible. He just turned one, and a great husband. And yeah,
she got it all. We're all jealous.
No kidding.
Yeah, and Morgan and I are partners at Oakwin Realty, which is a real estate brokerage here in Greater Vancouver. We're excited, obviously, to bring aboard you guys to the pirate ship. Yeah, welcome.
Yeah, yes. Well, we're happy. Thank you. Happy to be here.
And Oakwin is it's an agency that we started about five or six years ago, and really tried to do something different with a traditional real estate brokerage. So Morgan and I have been partners since day one with the brokerage, and it's just been so fascinating to see its growth and working with the agents that we get to work with every day, and really excited to start working with you guys for sure as well.
Right,
be a part of the pod.
Hey. Yes, we are so excited to be here.
Yeah,
I'm really curious because I mean, one of the questions we ask everybody that comes on the show is why real estate, and you guys have had fantastic careers in our industry. So maybe we'll start with Michael and just why real estate, Michael?
Well, you know, first off, I love real estate. It's something that I'm very, very passionate about. I love homes. I love everything to do with homes, housing, residential and commercial real estate and investment. And I think real estate is the best vehicle for investment and secure your wealth and secure your retirement and future. And I think I just believe so much in our product that we get to represent every single day. So I chose real estate as a profession because I just, it's one of the basic essential needs that people have. Housing is super important, and I just love being a part of that process, either for the most part to facilitate realtors to just help them to grow their businesses and be a part of a lot of buyers and sellers' lives. So for me, that's why I got started into real estate, is because I just love it. It's great.
Right.
He really does. He's kind of obsessed with real estate. He's what we call a real estate nerd at Oakwin. I chose real estate because I think it's one of the only businesses that is just ever changing. I think we're really lucky to be in a business, especially in Vancouver, that there's so much new development. Obviously, there's tons of people that are coming to our city and our country, specifically Vancouver, year after year. So it is constantly changing. Things are moving, whether it's regulations, whether it's, what's happening with development in, all across Vancouver. We're able to kind of just keep on giving back to an ever-changing market. So I love Vancouver, and I love real estate in general. I think I'm a little bit of a real estate nerd too. I love investing and being a part of something, you're right, passive income and having a great investment over time.
Well, it's funny because we've, been doing this podcast for almost 4 years, and I think specifically it works, and it might work in other markets, but in Vancouver it works because of that kind of the dynamism.
Worried we were going to run out of topics.
Yeah, we're doing one a week, and it's like, okay, we might after 3 months be like, all right, we're done. And it turns out it's a topic that keeps on giving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, multifaceted, but also this city, just how, from month to month, it's kind of renewed. There's renewed interest and more to talk about.
Mm-hmm. We were almost out of a job until the foreign buyer tax came in.
Yeah. Right.
And then, so I was getting nervous in early 2016.
You're done.
I was getting a little nervous for the podcast.
It's always it's a topic of conversation in everyone's kitchen and house, right? And everyone knows, a dozen realtors or people that are in development in Vancouver. It is our number one industry here in Vancouver. So I think it is one of those ones that is always interesting people throughout, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So you've both been actually started as real estate agents,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Resale agents. You started Oakwin 5-6 years ago. I'm always interested in that transition and basically why people take on the idea of a brokerage. But, and also, you guys have been growing, it's worth pointing out, incredibly quickly, right? So why did you want to start a brokerage?
Well, you know, without being too controversial, like Morgan and I were formerly in different brokerages, mm-hmm. and we felt that that industry needed a lot of improvement. We felt that, you know, as agents, we should, you know, be providing better services, better marketing programs, like just better services in general to the general public. And we felt that there was a bit of a disconnect with a lot of the brokerages that were available at the time in BC that you know, really offered education and a great valued service to the agents. And maybe that kind of trickled down to why maybe some agents didn't give the general public the amount of service that they really deserved and the amount of care and professionalism they deserved. So we decided to start our own firm because we really, really wanted to work on that aspect. So to improve the quality of service, to improve the quality of education and the quality of marketing to agents. And hopefully that trickles to the buyers and sellers that our agents get to represent, which I think it has. So basically, we have a very, very different philosophy when it comes to a real estate brokerage than most traditional agencies. So, you know, we're just excited to, you know, to kind of continue to see the growth and also continue to work with great people. And it's all about the people. So, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
No, I think that's a really good point. I think that's a very good question. Why we started the brokerage and how we've gotten to where we are is it's always just been about the people, about the realtors, about the general public, and serving everyone on an excellent level. And I think Oakwin has really kind of showed that through the last 5 years.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's been a, you know, it's just a different philosophy when it comes to brokerage. You know, a lot of brokerages were very, very competitive and really, you know, secretive and dog-eat-dog. And we tried to create a different environment where it was really open source, where agents were collaborative with each other, formed a bit of a community so that we can better serve the public. So that's, you know, a philosophy we have, and it's been working really well.
So, and maybe just to elaborate on that, sorry to cut you off, Matt, but for people that don't know, there's typically a brokerage house and then there's kind of sole proprietors within. And the concern is that often people are very kind of quiet or private about how they're doing business. And when you say kind of more open, kind of sharing, it just means that the agents kind of within are sharing knowledge, how to do things better. And you see that as kind of everybody kind of collectively rolling the ball forward.
Yeah, and collaborating,
and
right? And we have a thing called agent secrets in our company. I think that's actually one of the biggest hearts of what we do is it's where other agents are sharing their secrets, sharing their knowledge, sharing what they do on a regular basis, and they give it to all of the other realtors. And they're not afraid that they're going to use it or as a competitor. They right. actually go ahead and say, "Hey, you can take what I'm teaching you and do it your own way." So we really believe in a collaborative community.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not to put too fine a point on it here, but just in thinking of people that aren't in real estate that are listening, like it sounds like you guys are putting, often people think, okay, I work with John Smith or Tina Adams and, oh, they work at whatever brokerage, who mm-hmm. cares? I really like Tina. But it sounds like you guys are putting the focus on the brokerage. Can you talk a little bit about how consumers of real estate should think about brokerages and choosing brokerages? Or is that something somebody should be considering?
Yeah, I think it's very, very important on, you know, from a consumer perspective, when they look at hiring an agent. So, and that's one of the big things that they should consider, you know, where they're actually practicing and where their philosophies are going to be coming from. So, you know, we advise most buyers and sellers out there on the market to interview 2 or 3 agents before they choose which representative that they'd like. And, one of the big, you know, questions is, you know, which brokerage you're with and why you're with them. And, you know, for the most part, we want to be known as the agency that really cares about like a very, very, very high level of customer service and customer experience and also fantastic marketing so that your home is going to be presented in a beautiful way to attract the obviously the best end results for the homeowners out there. So for us, we care deeply about professional development. That's really our, that's, you know, what really stirs the pot for us is that we have a great community that's very collaborative and we're all learning from each other. But the brokerage itself really cares about professional development. We want our agents to always be hungry to learn and innovate and do things, do the extra little things that are going to provide great results for the consumer ultimately. So that's like, you know, super important for us. So, and we, you know, because we care so much as a brokerage about our agents providing that service and providing that service to those agents, we hope that that kind of goes through and carries through to the general buyers and sellers that are out there, the general public, so that they are able to, you know, they're able to experience the same things. Yeah,
you'd think it kind of makes sense, right? Because if you're attracting the people that are interested in continuous learning and being curious about the industry and professional development, that presumably those people that are that have that focus, right, are gonna, it's gonna translate to a better customer experience, I guess. Is that why you guys, is that what you do, would attribute to your kind of the speed in which you guys have kind of taken over a huge chunk of Vancouver's market?
We just, you know, we're way, I'm just joking. No, no, I think you're right. I think I think that we are aligned with a lot of people that have the same type of business philosophy. And a lot of people that are entrepreneurs in Vancouver, a lot of realtors that are coming to us, want to provide an excellent amount of service, and they want to pursue growth and learning on a regular basis because they know it'll enhance the experience for their consumer, the sellers and buyers, and they know that they can always do better. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. And Morgan and I, when we first started in the business, 12, 13, 14 years ago, we had very different experiences with our brokerages. It was highly competitive. Nobody wanted to share.
Island on your own, like you're on your own island.
Right.
You don't really talk. You're not really talking to one another. So we really wanted to make sure that that was not the case with Oakwin.
Yeah, and you know, openly for an agent that is hungry to learn, you know, they're also, and or just getting started in business, they're also potentially easy to take advantage of for the most part for their hard work and efforts. And you know,
never got it. Yeah, he's got some terrible stories. I have
some doozies.
He has terrible stories. I'm like, whoa, those are really intense. Yeah. No, but I think we wanted to make a safe place for a lot of realtors to grow their business and to constantly give back and constantly pursue growth and learning on a regular basis, for sure.
I'm dying to hear these stories.
I know, these stories are good.
Save those for another one of our
happy hour days.
Exactly. Okay, so I kind of want to shift gears because I think of you guys not only as broker owners, but I think you as real estate investors and seasoned buyers and owners in this marketplace. So we've got a ton of listeners that are investors and are constantly monitoring the market. So maybe can you start by telling us maybe what your approach to real estate investing is?
Well, I think that it depends on what product it is, really, with regards to like whether it's a cost approach or an income approach or right. a market approach. It really depends on what the product is. But I think overall, you know, my approach is, you know, it's all about demand at the end of the day and making sure that, you know, whatever we're investing in is something that you can see that could have the potential in the next 10 to 20, 30 years. So I'm a long-term thinker.
Right.
So instead of, you know, getting something that's maybe hot at that current moment, whether it's like Olympic Village or something on Main Street, I do always try to provide our clients and even our realtors and advise them to look a little bit more further down the line.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to look at a lot of the, you know, I start with doing some research. So I look at kind of the macroeconomics of the area that we're looking at. So, you know, I basically only invest here in Vancouver and BC. You know, I haven't really ventured out yet thus far. So yet, but I look at, you know, how many people are wanting to enter into the city, the number of like the immigration numbers that are coming into certain neighborhoods, and looking at the housing starts and trying to see, okay, this is going to be an in-demand area in the mm-hmm. future. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of real estate in Vancouver doesn't cash flow. So you have to really look at it from a long-term perspective, and you have to really look at it from, I'm going to hold this place 10, 15, 20 years. And Matt, Adam and I have had some philosophical discussions about retirement strategies and what's the best retirement strategy. Is it through RRSPs or is it through real estate investments? And, you know, we're on a real estate podcast. I think it's a real estate investment. I think a great investment portfolio for for someone in the, you know, someone in that, for someone in Vancouver, is going to rue the day, you know, is going to win the day in the long term with the cash flow that it can potentially bring in after it's paid off fully and so on and so forth. So, you know, for us, that's what I look at when it comes to buying investment properties. I look at it, what's going to look like in the long term. I've listened to you guys' pod quite a bit about, you know, the areas that you're targeting and the numbers of people that are coming in with the number of housing starts. And that's going to be relative to the number of buyers that are going to be interested in your property if you decide to sell it, and also the number of tenants, the number of potential great renters that are going to be entering into those same things. And if the macroeconomics work, and you look at the comparable analysis and some of the cash flow, and it's going to do reasonably well, then, you know, then let's go for it.
Right. Can you talk a little bit about that, what reasonably well means? Because it's funny, like, we have a lot of people who listen to the show who listen to a lot of other real estate podcasts from either the States or out of Ontario, other really great shows, but they talk about, you know, cash flow is king, cash flow, you got to be cash flowing off the start. In Vancouver, it's basically
a cap game market.
It's a cap game market, but basically it's impossible. So what does reasonably well look like to you guys who have both invested significantly in this market?
I think anything but between 4-10% on a cap rate is always what we always try to get to in Vancouver. You know, anything that's definitely covering your cost, which is, I think, a lot of people in Vancouver, like, let's get that straight. Everyone just wants to cover their cost. You know, like, let's get that straight. Yeah. So I think going, you know, that's a very good, and something, again, long term, you're thinking, you know, 10 to 20 years after you've paid down a lot of your principal. That's what my recommendation would be, is to find something that is lucrative enough to cover everything, but also to make a specific amount on your cap.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty normal in, mm-hmm. you know, openly, Matt, I think that's very normal in you know, high demand international markets. Mm-hmm. Like, you sure. go to like New York City, you sure. go to, and Vancouver is a real emerging international market. And I have so much confidence in this. I was born and raised here, and I've traveled quite a bit all over the world. Not really all over the world. I've traveled quite a bit. I was just in Phoenix.
Congrats.
And I just love this city. I think it's like, you know, basically we're in the middle of a rainforest. We got oceans and beaches and great nature. And, you know, in the future, I think nature and environment are going to play a huge factor in people's living decisions and where they want to live. Like, if mm-hmm. you think about it, you know, existentially, like, you'd want to live in a lush environment that has a lot of fresh water, has a lot of clean air, has a great stable government, and you know, although we just had our federal election, but that being said, we have a great
we're not touching that yet. Let's not touch that.
Roll to commercial.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
well, we're very lucky to live in the city and to be investors here for
right.
sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's just calculate, like Morgan was saying, just calculating your costs and you know, making sure that there's there's principal and interest payments in a mortgage payment. So looking at that, what that principal payment is that's going into your pocket in the end of the day, like long term. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. Do you have an area that you're excited about right now?
I totally do, actually. Yeah. I'll tell you right now, between Fraser and Knight, there's this on Kingsway, you know, north and south, so basic kind of cedar cottage.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, it's going to go off the hook, basically. I'm really excited about that area because I think being born and bred in the city, I've seen it change so much. And what I've noticed is a lot of that community that we had on, you know, the west side, Kitsilano, has really moved over east. And it's a place where you can raise your kids. It's, you know, it's safe. And it's one of those, I would say majority of people are really investing from other places in that are not from Vancouver because they see that. Where I think a lot of people that are from Vancouver, they're still in that mindset, it has to be in a different way, but they should be watching the people that recognize that incredible potential.
Vancouver, like, it's interesting for me because Matt and I are not from Vancouver, but it's so interesting when I'm talking to people that grew up here about certain areas that to me, I'm like, this is a no-brainer. This is a great area. And they're like, oh, like, that's where you go to get beat
up. Well, that's it.
Or whatever, right?
Yeah, you know, right.
Because they have this stigma that they can't break from mm-hmm. high school when they had, I don't know.
Well, we weren't allowed
jacket
to...
stolen yeah. from there or something like that. I mean, and we have those stigmas in Winnipeg where we were born, right?
Right.
It's yeah. like I think about
basically the entire city.
Yeah, the entire. yeah, and we call that area Winnipeg, but it is that idea of it's hard to break those stigmas. So sometimes looking at the third party objective sources
exactly.
is key, right? Mm-hmm. To know where the market's shifting.
I've moved yeah. more people from, you know, and I've seen more people move into that area from all over the world. So, and you're seeing people that are all career oriented people that are growing their families. So that is the place to watch, I'm telling you. And it's already changing so much with development as well. You can really just go onto the City of Vancouver website and actually see how much development permits are put into place.
Right.
And that's where you can see that potential coming in Vancouver.
So are you looking more at the detached market or the attached
both.
Market? Both?
Yeah, both.
Just in that area mm-hmm. in general.
I'm all about, you know, energy hubs and places that you can see people grow as long-term, like meaning, you know, you can really put your children into schools that are, you know, from preschool and all the way up to grade 12, and they're incredible top-ranking schools, right?
Totally.
So you're seeing that change come over to the east side. And I think a lot of people from Vancouver have to break that stigma that is over from the
right.
west side. Yeah.
I love this idea of the energy hub.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like last yeah. week we had John Benest and Michael Ferrer on, and John Benest said there's a cool, he was talking about one of his places he was excited about is, you know, there's a coolness factor that's kind yeah. of like intangible, but energy hub almost is something a little bit more concrete.
Well, it's also cooler to say than cool for us. When I say, man, this is a really cool area, it's like, yeah. said your
nobody
dad.
Believes you. Right?
Nobody believes you.
It's the bee's knees over yeah. here.
Exactly.
You can see
energy
it in
hub,
like
the grown-up way of
Archie.
Saying that.
It's an old Archie comic.
You can kind of see it with transit as well that's happening and, you know, places where you can shop and eat, and that's where that energy hub, it's where people are coming to come together
yeah.
and to
where they
gather.
Be, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where
gather.
They want to be.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I really like Morgan was saying, that pocket. I like looking at retail. Like
yes.
I like looking at retail because people want to be around great retail. They want to be around great coffee shops, restaurants. They want to be within walking distance of like a Whole Foods or something like in those things in those ways. And that's mm-hmm. You know, when I kind of see the cool independent breweries coming around this certain area, I'm like, okay, that this area is going to pop off,
like yeah.
like this area,
yeah,
you're in,
right?
Sure,
like, yeah,
very cool.
Mount Pleasant here is a big one. You know, when I was a kid growing up, this is where you got beat up.
Like, yeah,
sure,
yeah. You weren't allowed to cross Main.
Exactly, like Main Street. My old comic store that I used to go to was on Main Street. My mom was like, "Here's a knife," like, and so like that was when we were, you know, when we were like teenagers. So like, yeah, this area's changed so much. So you're kind of seeing that go over to Fraser and Knight Street and on Kingsway and stuff like that. And so that area is really cool as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it sounds like, are you excited about the same area, Michael, or is there another pocket that you're excited about?
I like that area. I'm okay with exploring a little bit further out because, you know, I think you guys talked about a lot on the podcast about looking at public transportation as a really, really great key indicator of future investment. And so I agree with you guys wholeheartedly. I think that proximity to SkyTrain is paramount, you know, because I think you can only build so much in downtown. There's very few sites remaining. So I like that. I like those areas a lot, like newer product in those areas. Mm-hmm. I really like. So close to SkyTrain, so New Westminster, Broquitlam, which is a really, really great area. Port Moody, if you have family, great schools and stuff like
Port
that.
Port Moody
so,
is very...
Yeah,
yeah.
Looking
cool.
at some of those areas. But if you can get a really, really solid property, like that maybe had its rain screen done, mid-90s construction in downtown Vancouver... like that has a reasonable price per square foot, that's going to do you super well as well.
Right.
So like, you know, if you can get something like that for the attached market.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so like those are things to really consider as well.
It's interesting because right now, you know, we've seen July, August, September numbers. It looks like October is going to be the busiest month in terms of sales
Absolutely.
Ratio of 2019. Right? So we're coming up.
Wait for December.
I know, yeah, yeah, really.
But one thing that I noticed in the sales ratios last
month was that the West End is actually not performing as well as Yale Town or downtown. It's actually quite slow in the West End, which is presumably where you're talking about there,
right,
in terms of kind of 90s construction.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's anyway, yeah, it seems like stuff's sitting over there for all of you looking
there,
for mid-90s.
The West End.
Yeah.
Mid-90s leaky
mid-90s
condo?
Leaky condo.
No, no, no. Rain screen. Michael clearly said rain screen.
I mean, fixed up.
Well, they're going to get a lot more, especially with that Vancouver house being finished and all the commercial stores that are going in there. So the West End does really take advantage of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. That's South Downtown.
South End.
Or SoDo, which it also makes me feel like a dad. So in terms of, and I mean, this is maybe kind of heading down that same, in that same direction, but where would you invest right now personally? Like, what would you buy?
Go ahead, Mike. Where are you investing? Tell me, share with me.
Well, so, you know, for like future cash flow style properties, you know, like I was saying, those periphery areas close to the SkyTrain, I like newer product because I'm going to hold it for, like, I plan on holding them for 25 plus years. So it's going to be a long-term hold for me. That's, you know, what I'm looking for from an investment perspective. But I think that there's a lot of opportunity, you know, in... I've seen prices drop like precipitously in West Side Vancouver. I just moved to Kerrisdale, an area, and I just saw pricing go down quite substantially in those in a period of time. So I kind of got into that market. I've seen West Vancouver really taking like 30%, 40%, 50%. Price changes. So I think that there is good opportunity there. Obviously, those properties are of substantial value. So, you know, but yeah, I think that there is going to be opportunity. Think about all those people that, you know, think about people that bought in 2008, like, you know, those houses in 2008 when the market shifted down. I think that, you know, there is going to be opportunities. So, you know, it's good to, that's what I'm kind of looking at right now.
We kind of said it, touched on it a little bit last week, but the biggest opportunities right now feel like they're in areas where you have to have a lot of money to capitalize on them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I mean, like West Vancouver seems like such a no-brainer, especially at the entry level price point,
right,
where you're getting huge lots, livable homes for the same price as the East Side now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's Vancouver.
You know what I mean?
It's crazy.
And view lots and incredible stuff.
And large lots, like 12,000 square feet, as opposed to getting something that's like 6,000 or 4,000.
Sure.
Right.
Sure, and arguably a better house. So, I mean, it is interesting, but again, it's that higher price point, right? Like, the joke is almost like I can get you a great deal on a $10 million house right now, right?
Right.
But I can't help you. There's no improvement for the person who's got a budget of $700,000, really.
Yeah, so, that market's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Resilient.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Maybe in terms of thinking maybe about worthwhile investments that you've actually made, what is one of the best and worthwhile, most worthwhile investments that you've ever made in real estate?
In real estate.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
No relationships.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, in real estate, I think, you know, one of the most worthwhile investments I made was I used to live primarily downtown. Most of my practice is downtown. So along the waterfront was kind of where I went to, and seeing Concord, the potential of Concord past Cooperage, where Cooperage is now, where the casino just built was right behind it, and ARC was one of my best investments that I did. I saw that kind of coming 7 years ahead, and I bought there and I purchased when it was, people really didn't want to live there. It was still kind of like the downtown East Side.
Right.
So again, seeing it kind of on a bird eye view that where the potential of development would be moving forward in 10 years was one of my best investments in Cooper. Nice. Yeah.
And Morgan, I'm just realizing we didn't ask you about where you would buy now.
Oh, where would I buy now?
I cut you off.
I would buy, you know, there's a couple things. So Mike is completely right. You're taking advantage of where it took the biggest hit. So the West Side and West Vancouver. But they also kind of took a hit because the vacancy tax happened and people were just leaving them empty.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to see that on all different aspects, like even secondary homes. So if you're thinking of getting maybe something on the Sunshine Coast or, even something on the other side of Tofino, there was a lot of people that actually can't hold their properties and they want to get, you know, take advantage, you know, you should take advantage of them if you can.
Right.
So I really believe, yeah, West Side, West Vancouver, and then secondary home properties like on the islands and on Victoria Island and everything.
Right.
Huh. Haven't had that before.
Yeah.
You know what? And there's almost a contrast happening that we've talked about on the show a lot, but this idea of like your first comment on neighborhoods that are up and coming is almost up and coming because of the community, right? Where it seems like the biggest opportunity lies in these areas where arguably the community doesn't.
It's gone. It yeah.
has been eroded right. over
the,
time.
That's right? the interesting thing, right? And I was yeah. thinking about that too, is this the energy hubs, right? I don't think there's a lot of people arguing that Dunbar is an energy no. hub right now.
Right.
Or West Vancouver, right? Depending on where you are, I think, but there's not okay. that energy. But I guess it's, you know, it really more comes, of a long-term hold.
It really yeah. becomes, it's the reason for that is affordability. You know, right. really West Vancouver and West Side, they haven't really made room for multifamily homes. And you see that in West Vancouver a lot. You know, you're not seeing tons of condominiums there mm-hmm. where families can't really be brought up, where a lot of people have to go and live in that two-bedroom or three-bedroom condo before they make the move to their second, to their detached home. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing that in Cedar Cottage, you're seeing that in Grandview, and that's why those energy hubs are becoming so attractive to people.
Mm-hmm. 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 Maybe shifting gears a little bit, somebody just wrote a review and said that we say, I'm always struck.
Really?
Now I yeah. say, and I do, I yeah. think I say that every
that
10 seconds.
Shifting yeah. gears.
Shifting
Someone
gears.
Someone got hit a lot as a kid.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no. I'm trying to figure out a different way to say
that would
I'm,
be secret.
I'm struck. But, no,
fell
I'm
down the stairs.
Third time this week.
Yeah,
your brothers. No, but both of you guys are pretty young, and you've done exceptionally well, and you also have multiple, I don't know how, it seems like you have multiple businesses, multiple balls in the air at all times, and I'm just wondering, like, what advice, because you guys are what, under 40, what advice would you give smart yes. driven
we are under 40.
I think I'm the oldest
35 Matt. You yeah. probably could even have went yeah. we'll just keep going yeah, Morgan yeah, you right. look really young
yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Michael you too
no, got the, no the question is what advice would you give smart driven millennials about to enter the real world, like, because you guys have basically dominated. So what would you say?
You go first.
Sure. I think you need to surround yourself with really amazing people. So I got to work with Morgan. I've been working with Morgan for the last, you know, 6+ years now. And like, it's been an absolute joy and it's added so much to my life. Our friendship, our partnership in business, you know, seeing each other grow and really creating a relationship where iron sharpens iron. And even just like, you know, hanging out with you, with Adam and Matt, you can find us sometimes like on Main Street.
Cascades.
Shout out to Colony.
Yeah. The Colony.
And, you know, can't afford Cascades.
You can't afford Cascades.
No. Nothing highbrow for us. Yeah. They're from Manitoba. I'm just kidding. So, you know, I think that's like a really important thing. Like, create this like amazing group of people around you that are striving for more. You know, I think that is so important. We've done some cool stuff, but I know it's because of the people that have been with us. So like I've been so with true. Morgan for, you know, and this the relationship that we have is, you know, I am so lucky to have like great people around me, and the agents that we work with every day at Oakwin, they're some of the most amazing people that you can meet on this planet. Like they're just soulful. They love their clients. They want to do right by people. They're ethical. They're young and energetic, and they want to serve. They have a heart to serve. And so, you know, surrounding yourself with amazing people is for sure. I always feel like I'm the dumbest guy in most rooms, and I think that's a good place to be.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, hanging out with Morgan all the time.
I don't know. I'm paying him, guys.
You know, it was being like, that was like a big thing for me, finding someone that, you know, that, you know, we could bounce ideas off of. And that was
change huge. Your perspective yeah. of yeah. things. I think that's number very one. Important. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think you need to make a plan, do your research and execute it, and no excuses. I think you have to, if you're a young millennial or you're an entrepreneur that just wants to go for it, you need to make a plan, strategize, and just go execute it, no excuses, and just keep on going. And I think that that really will take you far places. I think that with a combination of being around really incredible people, talented people, is a formula that you cannot beat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. wasn't a shot clock or anything. No? and I just want to bring it up because we were talking off air when you first got here, Morgan, and you're like still doing a mastermind right now. So you're like kind of forever learning and challenging yourself to stay on track.
Right.
First of all, what is a mastermind?
A mastermind is yeah. very cool. A mastermind was, it's actually about 12 agents from our office got together and we said, you know, let's bounce some ideas off of each other. Let's talk about really incredible topics and help each other. And again, open our perspective up, open our outlook on what we want to do. So today we had one about thinking big and people talked about what their challenges about thinking big in their business were. And I think you need to, again, surround yourself around people that are willing to challenge you, but also push you in that direction to be your best self. So that's right. what a mastermind is, just a collective of people that are coming together to discuss a topic that is important to everyone's business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like put yourself around like-minded people that kind of share your goal set, but also you can learn from.
We're really lucky to do that. I think Oakwin in general has made that community, but this mastermind is something that people really want. Every Tuesday or every second Tuesday we meet, everyone put down $200 and said, if you don't come, you lose that $200. Like there's something on the line for mm-hmm. it. Right. And, you know, again, that was just a community, a core group of people that were like, let's do this. That's how Oakwin has really become an incredible community, is that you don't have to, you got 10 to 15 people together and they were all like, let's do this. Let's go into it. Yeah.
Nice.
There's also a book club.
There's book club. Yes. Mike's book club. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. We have a book club, which, you know, I grew up in libraries as a kid, you know.
And comic book stores by the sound of things.
Just on Main Street.
A lot of knives, a lot of books.
Yeah. Knives, books.
Mike is always reading, though. He's always yeah. reading.
Yeah, I just think that there's something visceral about, like, picking up a book, you know, like, getting nonfiction or fiction, but getting someone's, like, their 70 years of wisdom, like condensed in 300 pages. Like to me, that's just like, it's unbelievable to be able to have that resource. Right. So we have book club where we're able to, you know, form a community around the love of reading, which is, you know, something. We have a program for new agents called Oakwin University. And one of the things I kind of hope for is that people would catch a reading bug because I advise everyone to read certain books for our Oakwin University, which is our beginner agent training program. So we have a book club where we get to discuss cool topics a lot, and it's over wine and cheese at the office, and we kick back and talk philosophy. Yeah, that's good. Nice.
It does strike me, both of you, even in your responses, it's energy, but intentionality. Like there's intention, and it's a very kind of, if you just, since I've known at least Michael more so than Morgan, mm-hmm. but you really act with intention. Right. You have I feel like a lot of people are reactionary and go through their day kind of just reacting and putting out fires, whereas you guys seem to be driving your day in a way that a lot of people aren't. Anyway, it's just more of an observation than anything else.
You have to have intention to get things done, for sure. Yeah. And when there's a lot of ideas and a lot of incredible possibilities, then we know that our intention is always going to guide us the right way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even sure. while you're, yeah, the idea of that plan, sticking to it.
Right? Yeah. You got to stick to it.
Yeah.
You have to stick to
it. Yeah. A lot of agents, like, they want to, like, buck their plan if it's not working after, like, one day. Like, okay, got to change it all up. And, you know,
Tuesday was a rail.
Exactly. It's kind of just that it's, you know, putting things on rails and just like, you know, this is the plan. I believe in this. It works logically. It makes sense. So in terms of like, we're talking about professional development. So in the brokerage business, we're not going to be able to spend more money than our competitors on marketing. We're not going to be able to, you know, do a lot of things that they can do, but I know what we can do really well. And that's really have a love of our realtors and also have a, you know, a love of their professional development to for them to gain better professional skills. And if we're always on that track and trying to improve the agents, they're going to give their customers better service, and it all comes around in a cycle. And so like that's what we focus on
it's a time and energy spend in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
And building the community. But can you maybe talk a little bit as well, like about some of the mistakes that you see young entrepreneurs or young agents make?
I think the number one thing that I see with new agents is they get discouraged too quickly. You know, I think there's a lot of rejection in our business, you guys know, and a lot of things aren't going to go your way, even when you have a plan in place. So they just get discouraged way too quickly and they don't stick to their plan. They're kind of afraid to work really hard. Like they're not, you know, back when we started, people were doing 4 to 6 open houses to get clients and they were door knocking. And, you know, sometimes you just got to get down to basics and go back out there and work from the ground up. Mm-hmm. So those two things are definitely, don't you find that, Adam?
Totally.
Do you find that?
Totally. I got super thick skin.
Right?
Yeah.
I was born with it. It's gotten thinner, actually, particularly around my face. Thick skin.
A lot of people think of real estate professionals as working, as not really entrepreneurs, although it's one of the kind of the most entrepreneurial businesses,
really.
I think you can be in. Do you have, is there another one, Michael, that you can think of that you, because you have worked with hundreds of agents,
yeah,
right?
I think having a really good reason why you're doing something is very, very important. So I think a lot of people we meet a lot of new agents and they say to us, like, the reason why I'm doing this is because the market's going crazy and I have to see an opportunity and I want to capitalize on that opportunity. They never do well. So like it's very few and far between to those people do well and do we actually want to work with them. But when they have like a really true passion about helping people, homes, they have a passion for real estate and they have a compelling reason why they're starting a business, like, you know, why they want to be an entrepreneur. And I think that's a really key thing. You know, there's a book by Simon Sinek called Start With Why, and it's really tries to kind of really narrow down what, you know, like why you're doing this exactly. Is it for your family? It's to provide for your family. It's to provide for your future self. Is it for you to build a legacy? You have to know those reasons why, because then it'll be so easy to give up. Mm-hmm. If you don't have those motivating factors about, you know, like why you're endeavoring into an entrepreneurial business, that's, you know, the failure rate is very high.
Right.
So you have to extend all your efforts into it. Otherwise, it's not going to work out well.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for people listening that aren't in real estate and even just investing in real estate, I think that applies as well, right? Like understanding why you're investing in real estate in the first place, right? And keeping you motivated to be monitoring the market kind of aggressively over time and making sure that you're making the right investments,
mm-hmm,
as well. Any, yeah, entrepreneurial
Every,
or investment,
you know, yeah, yeah,
venture,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Along the same lines, sitting with two people that are doing masterminds and book clubs and consistently trying to improve themselves, in the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
It's a very good question. I think for me, for the last 5 years, would be number one. You can build, like, really, you don't have to do it alone. I think that's a big part of it. Is as an entrepreneur, as a realtor, you believe that It's all on you. It's all on your shoulders. And then you don't want to surround yourself around those people because it's like competition or whatever it may be. But I believe that in the last 5 years, my belief has really grown from number one, is to build a team around you and surround yourself around people that are better than you. That's a big part of it. So obviously me being with Michael and Arlene, and we really grew the company because I think we all challenge each other. We all have our own specific talents, and you really falling on their shoulders it's okay. So that's number one. And then also just be present, which is hard for everyone.
It's the hardest part.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, right? What did you say?
Be present. Exactly. Be present.
Was that Candy Crush? Yeah. You're on Thankfully. Lollipop Lane again. Yeah, I think, you know, a couple really big things when it comes to, you know, over the last 5 years, and especially this last 5 years being like a whirlwind for us. You know, we started with zero realtors in a office above a cupcake shop, and here we are. How many agents do we have? Four?
About 400.
Over 400 realtors that we get to work with very closely every single day, and kind of expanding our offices and stuff like that. So, one of the big things is, I think what you guys just touched on is to not really. I don't think so much about the result. Like, I know what result we want. I know the goals that we have set out and the track we want to go. But really just focusing on what you can do in that moment, in that day, at that very, not even the day, like at this very moment. What's the best thing I can do? What is the best thing I can do to potentially achieve the thing that I want in the long term? And that could be a variety of different things. But when you're really present in that moment and you're not really thinking about the result, but just trying to do good work, I think, I like to think back to like the olden times, or if we were all farmers, or if we're all like like blacksmiths, and or like back really basic times.
Laser back blacksmith.
I have that dwarven build.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So basically, they just want to craft something awesome. They just want to do something. They just want to do good work. And I've been on this train right now. It's like, I just want to do good work. So like, what's right now? What's the best thing I can do right now to be great at my job? What's the best thing I can do now to be a great friend? What's the best thing I can do now to be an educator or a student? What's the best thing I can do right now to be a great partner, a husband or a wife or a son? Like, what's the best thing I can do in that moment in the current role that I'm in, and really focusing on that well? So that's one thing. And the second thing is, like, fundamentals always rule the day. Great fundamentals. Like, a lot of people have like, what's the secret saucy trick?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not, is there such a thing?
That's the title of this episode.
No one says that, guys.
No, I don't know. Like,
so you have to deal with guys.
It's funny. Like, you just hear these, like, what's this? I want to know the seven secrets, and it's always great fundamental.
Seven habits.
It's like fundamentals. Like, that's like they try to attribute it to the seven secret spices, but it was because like Colonel Sanders like went door to door selling his fried chicken, and he has
hard
that work ethic,
right.
And he has the great fundamentals. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I think that's a big thing too. Always stick to those fundamentals.
Fundamentals. Yeah. Yeah, I got one more question. This is last one, and then hopefully you can stick around for the five wire.
Sure,
yeah.
Five wire.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, okay, so last question is, how has a failure or apparent failure set you up for later success? And do you
in
have
real
a,
estate?
In life in general, but do you have a favorite failure? And
I
have a favorite.
I actually don't have a, I feel like they're not failures.
You've never failed.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. I really believe in just, there's definitely moments, but I don't let them get to me too much. Like, right. The failure.
You don't rank them.
I don't rank them on which one's the worst. I think I'm here doing what I'm doing because I put myself here.
Right.
Yeah. Eckhart Tolle. That's it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I think
what's your failures?
My, we actually, it was something that happened with the brokerage.
Okay, so, this is, yeah, I was like, are you going to bring this up?
I'm going to bring it up.
Because I don't know. Okay. We should bring this. I'm just joking.
Yeah, I'm going to bring it up. So, you know, our biggest failure probably, like we got into starting a real estate brokerage. So obviously we're known as Oakwin right now, but prior to being known as Oakwin Realty, we're actually known as Opus Realty. And, you know, we came into it as you know, we signed up at the real estate board to become Opus Realty, and later that you know, I found out after a year once we started gaining some traction in the industry that you know there was another Opus Realty somewhere in Canada and somewhere in the world, and they were like suing us for trademark infringement, and we were gonna be like, you know. And we had, so it was a huge failure. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing.
Mike was really,
I was
really. Well,
and
upset
you build
about
a brand
it.
For over, spend over a for, year yeah. building yeah. a brand, right?
And right. It's, and, mm-hmm. and so, like, it was, and I thought it was going to be the end of our brokerage openly. I was like, no one's going to trust me. I can't even trademark a name. And, like, and I, you know, I, you know, and I cared so deeply about the agents that we were working with. You know, at the time we probably had like how many agents?
35
realtors. And, we thought about all these hypothetical situations on how we're going to make these changes and what we're going to do. And, we decided that, you know, because of that failure, we were going to try to do something better. And so like we looked at our business, like where could we win? What are we going to do? And that's how we came with Oakwin and our beautiful golden O logo that's hopefully recognized all over the city. There's, you know, one of the dreams that Morgan had, remember? Mm-hmm.
I know. Yeah. I wrote myself a letter saying that I'll be able to drive down Vancouver streets and see golden O's everywhere.
And you
so
do.
It's been pretty close, incredible. So
well, I do at least.
Yeah, yeah. I do too. They're everywhere, which is really
the vision.
So. Yeah.
So I'm just kidding. My contact lens. No.
I got a good contact.
It's true.
It was one of our biggest faults for sure. Is the Opus to Oakwin, but I think it was the biggest blessing.
Yeah,
so
right.
It was incredible what happened after that.
Yeah, because we just elevated the brand substantially. Our brand used to be this like green and blue, really cheesy, campy.
I liked Opus, but I really like Oak. I mean, yeah. I think it was it's an improvement.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
And the takeaway there is seeing an opportunity out of the challenge.
Yeah. There's like, you know, fertilizer creates great soil, right? So yeah. when you crap the bed, there's a way that you can, you know, do something with that big failure and something better can emerge. So, you know, so Morgan and I had, we used to get up early in the mornings at like 7:30 and
he came in sweating. So guess what happened?
Yeah. Like we used to meet at a coffee shop and like we were both living in downtown. We'd meet in the middle at a coffee shop at like 6 or 7 o'clock
in
the mornings.
Yeah, 6 in the morning.
Just to talk about like how we're going to improve the brand, how we're going to elevate things. And, you know, it was pretty, it was a failure, but it ended up being like, probably the best thing that could have happened.
It really
right?
was the best yeah. thing that ever happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we were able to collaborate and also collaborate with an incredible graphic designer here and branding company here in Vancouver. And it was just, we elevated it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Well, hey, the Five Wire.
The Five Wire.
Ooh. Can you stick around for that?
Woo, yeah. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right. Question number one, favorite neighborhood in Vancouver?
Favorite neighborhood? Fraser. Cool.
Yeah.
Man, you dropped the hood.
Woo! Let's do it. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, Ubuntu. Yeah.
I like Main Street.
Yeah.
Favorite bar or restaurant? I think I know Michael's answer.
Mine is about atmosphere. So Sandbar has always been my favorite. Outlook Vancouver, best.
Nice.
Yeah.
Colony Bar, Main and 13th.
best happy hour.
Best happy hour. Yeah,
tapped out Tuesdays. I think we found the cheapest beer in town.
He's trying to get something for this. He's plugging it.
No, you'll find me there all the time.
What is one book that you would recommend everyone listening to read?
Oh, definitely Good to Great by Jim Collins. Yeah.
Good to Great.
7 Habits of Highly Successful People, Stephen Covey. I read once per year.
All right. Matt?
What is one piece of advice you would give your 18-year-old self?
Don't be so hard on yourself.
I think that's been actually...
That's been a common one.
But I think that's what made us where we are. But I think, you know, you're...
It's funny,
It's really one of those things that you're like, just, you know...
Mine might have been, be harder on yourself.
I was going to say, I actually erred in the other direction as well. Yeah.
Totally.
It's
totally.
Like, I'm only 33.
Yeah. I'm only... I got time.
Good.
Yeah.
It's all good. Time.
No, you don't.
So good.
Yeah. 18-year-old self... That's a tough. It's
don't worry, you'll get that girl one.
I did get her.
I got
her.
You got her.
Yeah.
Got her.
Probably, probably just, believe in yourself a little bit more for sure. Yeah.
Last but not least, what is something you have bought in the last year or two for under $1,000 that has changed your life?
And we have
or at least improved it.
Easy.
Yeah.
Pregnancy test. I'm joking. No. I think a ticket away. So a ticket to Greece. I just got back from Greece and changes your life when you travel experience.
You said something actually, and I just want to touch on this because before we went on air again, you said that you go away in order to improve your business. You find like you're too in it here.
Too in it here.
You got to pull back.
You have to see it on a really large scale. I think when you're living it every single day, you don't see the gems that are around you. And also you have to think larger. I think when you're in Vancouver, when you're in your business day to day, it's very narrow-minded. When you kind of take off, you're able to really, you know, analyze it a little bit more, right?
I also think travelers make better real estate investors because you see how other cities are evolving and shaping.
100%.
It's worth it to book that trip. Like, it's not just a vacation or a cost. It gives you perspective.
Right. And I think most realtors know that when you go away, it gets busy.
Yeah.
That's what everyone knows in Vancouver.
Yeah. If you're slow.
If you're slow, get away.
Book a trip.
Book a trip.
For me, I don't buy very many things because I hate shopping, but we got an Instapot. So an Instapot is like this pressure cooker thing. When I was being an entrepreneur, you're always on the road, you're always out. I was just going out and eating the world's like worst cuisine. I think once you start making some money, you can actually afford McDonald's. Like, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have it every meal. So I gained probably about like when I first started, I gained probably about 50 pounds. I know. I was like going to the heavyweight class here.
You're but eating on the go, right?
Yeah, you're eating on the go. Yeah, and, you know, and you just want, you know, and if you're an emotional eater like me, then you, then you want, and you're like, so yeah, like one of those Instapots, like take care of your health. You know, I think it's, I'm learning that from my future wife. So take care of your health. You know, take care of your body because this is, you only get one of them. So like, let's do that.
Temple.
So Instapot was really big because it's very wholesome and so it's good.
Excellent. Well, maybe we'll leave it there, but how can people find out more about you guys and what you're doing and Oakwin Realty?
You can visit us on our website at www.oakwin.com or follow us. I think Oakwin on our Instagram and our Twitter are very active, so you can see what all of our realtors are doing all the time.
You guys have a great Instagram.
Thank you. It's fun, right?
It's like a professional photographer just follows everyone around.
That's what we're going for. Yeah.
Our photos still suck for some
reason. Yeah, so probably the best way is like on Instagram at Oakwin, so OAKWYN, and shoot us a DM through there. Like, people are always kind of like, ooh, like kind of scared to do that. Just shoot us a DM through there. Hey, I'm interested in learning more about the brokerage or about real estate, and we're happy to answer any questions.
We do have an open door policy at our brokerage too. Come on in. We'd love to meet you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thanks so much for your time, guys.
Thank you, guys.
It's been a long time coming. Glad you guys had the time to come down.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
So there you have it, folks, our discussion with Michael Yu and Morgan Brown, partners and founders of Oakland Realty.
Really enjoyed our conversation with Morgan and Michael, Matt, and tons of takeaways from that conversation, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if I was a young, aspiring real estate investor, or even just not a young aspiring just a real estate investor, I would be reeling right now.
Slightly older real estate investor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Aspirations out the window, real estate investor. But also like a young realtor or a young entrepreneur in general, so much to take away from talking to driven people like Michael and Morgan.
Driven, and honestly, one of the things I said it in the interview, but it's become so clear watching these guys is the kind of level of intention in their day-to-day lives,
right?
They drive their day in a way that not a lot of other people I know do.
Sure.
And you can just see why they're so accomplished. So yeah, tons to learn from that conversation, tons of takeaways. It was an exciting one.
Yeah. And we also have a book to give away, Matt, before we end for the day.
Before we sign off, we got Vancouverism, Larry Beasley, signed copy. Really interesting quotes on these ones. Secret.
Personal messages.
Secret. Do we have a winner today?
The winner this week is Eric Lee.
Hey, studio applause.
Congratulations, Eric. That was great.
And Eric writes,
great and informative podcast on how to invest in real estate in the Lower Mainland. The hosts are just a pleasure to listen to, and the guests they bring are A+. I'm just starting off my career in Vancouver, and owning property seems like an impossible task, but this podcast has helped inspire me to be more intentional in my real estate plans.
Wow.
Furthermore...
Go on.
It decrypts the hows, the wheres, and the whats behind property ownership.
That was.
I think Secret's going after your job. I think that's the that was the longest review I think we've ever had.
That was, but very.
But shout out to Eric.
That
was
thoughtful.
That was very thoughtful.
Thank you, Eric, and get in touch. We got your book here. What else do we got? We also got VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
We do, yeah, with resources like private client services. Because, Matt, if you are not using PCS, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You get sold prices, days on market. You basically get realtor-level information at your fingertips. It's free. It's the best resource out there. There's no better way to look for real estate in Vancouver.
Yeah, if you're not using PCS to monitor the market, you're doing it wrong. We also got the LiveWire. That's our weekly mailer that goes out. We got assignments. We got deal of the month. We got different stats packages, different than the real estate board.
Well, we got the best stats. The best stats that break it down by sub area, price bands, sales ratios.
We got it all. There's no reason not to be on that list. So head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Last but not least, we got a plug. If you're watching it on YouTube, this is where you come back to. November 6th, 7 p.m. Michael Yu's going to be in the studio talking about disruption.
Right.
It's going to be good.
And you should really, I mean, if you're not watching it on YouTube, we appreciate you listening to the show, but we are video recording these all on YouTube.
Yeah.
I was going to say VHS, but no. Are we making spare copies?
Just in case. You never know.
I feel like Secret would do that. He's got a beta underneath that laptop.
Three or four safety copies for sure. But if you want to talk about that, or anything else, real estate related or not, give me a call, 778-847-2854, or Matt at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574, or Adam at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
We also got that secret line.
info@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Yeah, we're still beta testing him. Have a good week, guys. Take care.
2,000 Faces for Radio. Subscribe today.
Hey everyone, pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible.
This podcast is sponsored by Common Ground Consulting.
Are you developing in the Lower Mainland?
Common Ground Consulting is a development management and consulting company with experience in single family, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial developments.
What I love about Common Ground, Adam, is they manage the whole development process, from due diligence and feasibility reports for initial purchase of land to completing rezoning, development permits, and building permits.
They streamline the whole process with strong relationships with sub-consultants and municipalities and a deep understanding of all city requirements.
Common Ground Consulting. Feasibility and efficiency prioritized every step of the way.
Learn more at commonground-consulting.com or 604-807-6419.
We are also sponsored by Oakland Realty. This is our real estate brokerage, best brokerage in the city, hands down. If you are in the industry, a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody just looking to make a change, new culture, new energy, new resources, head over to oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. That's oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. Not only do you get to meet Michael Morgan and the gang, the bigwigs over at Oakland, you get a huge incentive for first going to oakland.com/join, typing in VRP 2020.